Welcome to today's episode of Journey to There, the invigorating podcast that's exploring the intersection between personal and business growth. And now your hosts, Tracy DeForge and Russ Reba.
Okay, so after several episodes of co-hosting this exceptional show, I came to the realization that I didn't even realize I partner with a lot of women.
You just realized that? Hello?
Does that say something about my character?
No, it says something about your state of mind.
Well, yeah, now I know that you and I are partnered. By the way, a side note, my wife does listen to this show, so I'm in the clear here. Hey, along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. This is the Journey to There radio show. Make sure you log on to the website, journeytothere.com. Download past episodes, get the show notes, leave some comments, good or bad, and a whole lot more. It's journeytothere.com. So are you going to overanalyze my character today?
No, because I have spent this past few days overanalyzing some real people's characters that needed some analyzation, if you will. I think, what is the phrase? I've been in the paralysis of analysis around how important character is in life and in business. Whew, I feel better just saying it.
It's a mouthful, too. Going back to the women that I partner with, the reason why I just realized it is because we've been doing this show, and then most of my large clients, let me just say many of my large clients, it's women-owned businesses. Some of them are very large businesses where the woman is the CEO, or, for instance, I had a I don't want to say a situation, but an in-depth conversation with this businesswoman that I partner with, who has just unbelievable.
I love how you're practically stuttering. Get it out.
I'm trying to be careful without trying to sound.
We're not saying any names. I've got some stories too. Strap in.
All right, I'm going to get back to this other woman. Let me let you get the show on wheels here, and let's get rolling.
Okay.
I'm sweating.
This must be a great story. We are obviously, or maybe not so obviously, discussing character today on Journey to There, primarily because I have always felt very strongly in every element of professionalism, really since I even began my career. I've built a tremendously valuable reputation on my character, and I have trained many, if not thousands, of salespeople on how important it is to show up, follow up, and follow through, which we'll talk about later in the episode. But I'm really excited to have this dialogue because I literally need to get some things off my chest. So we'll let Russ go first.
Well, here's how I'm going to approach this. Let's say I'm this woman who runs I'm building a very successful business.
Okay.
I'm not naming any names. Let's just say it's me. I have a lot of success in working with very large companies as an employee, and I recently put everything into running my own business and building my own business. And I deal with a lot of clients, many of them large. And let's just say I grab these big projects they put in front of me, and they say, this is what we want to do. We don't know how to market it. We don't know how to get it out there. You take the reins and make us the company that we need to be. And sure enough, she knows how to do it, and she goes through all the motions. And when it comes down to it, by the end of the project, or when the project is, let's say, 3/4 of the way through, she says to herself, or I say to myself, wow, I've put in a lot of work here. This is worth X amount of dollars, and I'm not getting close to what my value is, because these people just seem to be taking advantage of me. And maybe it's a startup business, and the money is to come, and the rewards will be benefited in the future, but we got to get this thing off the ground. However, she's doing the job. She should get paid for her job, or I'm doing my job. I should be paid for my job. What is happening here? Is this a reflection of my character? Am I being too nice? Am I not being stern enough with, okay, let's put on the brakes. Let's talk about how we're going to move forward with this.
Okay, wow. I am so excited that you laid this out this way because, for one, I don't think that there is a small business owner out there, male or female, who has not experienced this situation before. I can tell you and speak to this very passionately because I went through this scenario multiple times, but the last 2 years, I would say, it really started impacting me even more significantly in that I was left at the end of the job feeling that initially it was a feeling of feeling quote unquote taken advantage of, but then I had to really look at my part in it. And when I looked at my part in it, I realized it actually wasn't the other person's fault. They weren't even asking me to go above and beyond. I just wanted to deliver the level of quality product that I'm used to, which is my character and your
right.
character. So I had a conversation about this with an executive consultant. I think I may have referenced this person in a previous episode, but even a consultant needs a consultant, right?
Absolutely. A psychologist needs a psychologist.
Not all of them have them. But anyway. Okay, so when I had this experience to work with him, which was very phenomenal, and one of the biggest things I went into it with is I'm not certain that I'm valuing my services to the degree of which my customers are receiving. So we did have a conversation around being confident about pricing, which I did not have an issue about the confidence of my pricing. What I had an issue about was not knowing necessarily what the services I was providing, how that value equate to the customer themselves. And the one suggestion that he gave me, and I have now used it, and I will share it to the world because I want everybody to do well in their business and not coming out of a business relationship feeling let down or less than or taken advantage of, is that you outline the scope, which I'm sure that you did with this person, and that scope is agreed upon. And then when that scope starts to creep, if you know what I'm saying. So first it's just a little inch and then there's a little bit more of an inch.
Okay, stop. right there, I just need to interject because that's what happens is you have this creeping going on where it kind of gets off course a little bit. And it's at that point where I feel like the client is, let me see how far I can push this to get the most bang for my buck. Let me just push it a little more. She's a really nice businesswoman, and she seems to be going along with everything I'm suggesting and coming into the office instead of,
you
know,
and
it's like, let me
They're
just
so appreciative
see how
of
much
how you're going above and beyond.
Right, exactly.
So I will say there is a one-sentence solution to it that will change your world. It changed my life. It changed my business. And it generated revenues immediately for me as soon as I started using it. And what it is when the person, whether they are aware of it or not, whether they are just running 100 miles an hour and you're very accommodating and they don't even stop to think about it, because most people don't think about us as much as we think about us. So regardless, this
You've got me on the edge of my seat here.
Okay.
You're dragging this out. We want to hear the sentence.
I was building up the anticipation.
But okay. We'll be back after this. No.
Okay, here it is. When the person calls you and you know that they're asking for something that's not in your original commitment, then you say, let them put it out there what they need. And then you say, I can absolutely do that. And how would you like to pay for that? Yep.
See,
I promise you it works because it startles them, right? Then they would say, but I thought this was in a part of the package. And then you say back, I can see how you might think that, but it's not included in the package if you go back and take a look at it. And I'm more than happy to work with you. I love working with you. Everything's going really well right now. But since this is above and beyond the original scope, I would need to bill you X amount of dollars. How would you like to pay for that?
All right, let me throw this in. Almost like you're standing at a pizza counter. All right, here's your slice of pepperoni. How would you like to pay for that? Let me know if
what if you're standing at the pizza counter and you order plain cheese and they bring it to you and you go, I would like pepperoni. They're not just going to throw on some pepperoni and let you walk out the door.
Well, some of the pizza places that I go to, they just add the charge on and it's there. I'm thinking of a more suave way of putting it. Instead of saying, how would you like to pay for that? Especially when you're dealing with something that might be a, you know, $4,000, $5,000, $10,000 service that you're providing as a whole.
No, I'm with you.
How about I adjust the quote or adjust the commitment and I'll send that to you and then we can have that all in writing.
Well, that's absolutely a way to do it. I think that in a situation where you have them on the phone and they're in the moment where they need to get it done, because let's face it, everything's about a sense of urgency these days, you might not necessarily have to put out there the actual words of how do you want to pay for that, but I would recommend, if you were my client and consulting, and I would recommend that you would say, I will need to bill for that. It will be X amount, and then the choice belongs to them.
No, that I like. What you're saying is you have to bring up the financial aspect of it
Before the work is done.
Right. And I like how you said it. I'm going to have to bill you for that additional service. I like that a lot.
And so here's the thing that I think that I missed out on, why I was finally able to comfortably do that, because I had the exact same reaction that you did. It made me feel, I mean, first of all, I'm a Southern girl, so we like to be polite and nice and have, you know, our manners, so to speak. So a Southern girl wouldn't necessarily just go, great, that I can do that for you. How would you like to pay for that? That is against my grain. That's not how I communicate. Right. So I absolutely related to that. And I more than likely have softened it to the degree that you and I were talking about. However, what really gave me the guts and the glory to do it, so to speak, is because what I understood at that point was then the choice became theirs. They could either choose to pay for it, right. They could choose to find somebody else to do it, or they could choose not to have it done.
You put the ball in their court.
Absolutely. And then all of a sudden, I'm not feeling mad at myself for being up at 2 a.m. over-delivering on a contract that they didn't even ask me to deliver on in some cases.
Okay, and this comes back to a crossroads in good advice on how to conduct your business and going back to character. Now, I'm this sweet, sweet business person that I would say I'm tenacious in that I get business done and I grow my business.
Okay, but are we talking about her?
I'm talking about her.
Okay. I was like, you are a sweet business person, but I wouldn't necessarily describe you that way.
But here's where the client might sense. You know, it's like a lion that senses whether or not it's going to get its prey and how that lion is going to handle it. And some clients will sense this sweetness, this ability, this
vulnerability.
Yeah, being timid. They will sense it and try to push. So it's just not just a matter of saying, well, I'm going to have to bill you for that. It's saying it with conviction.
Confident. Yes. Yes, absolutely.
So how does one train themselves to do that when they are so used to being such a sweet, nice person?
I think for me, the first time that I did it, I was basically what they say, and I hate the phrase, but sometimes it's true, is like you have to fake it till you make it. I had like my hands were probably shaking and I was sitting on them. But at the same time, I knew that if I needed to grow my business to the levels that I wanted to grow it to, which I did, and if I wanted to be respected in the business that I do, not that I have disrespect in terms of character, but my services needed the value that they're valued at, I was responsible for that. So I knew I needed to do it. And the first time I probably stuttered, and I'm certain actually that I did. However, when the client then said, oh, sure, no problem, just add it to my invoice or send me a separate invoice. The response was very positive. Then my blood pressure lowered.
Right.
And then the next time, and basically, I just think you just have to throw it out there and just say, this is my policy. And I will say this, though. It's harder to do it with an existing client because you teach people how to treat you. So for me, I had to do it when I very first started trying it. I needed to try it with brand new people because there is something to be said about she was accustomed to you over delivering and now all of a sudden that you're not. But at the same time, you're responsible for setting your own boundaries, I would say.
Yeah, and it is all dependent on the particular client because you're going to have to adjust your disposition depending on how the client reacts to you. There's some clients that they're going to throw you money saying, here, whatever it takes, get the job done. And then there's those clients that are going to see how far they can push you. But you gave some great advice there.
Well, it's therapy with Tracy time.
It's Journey to There.
It's Journey to There, which is much more of a realistic assessment of it because therapist I am not, but I have lived a lot of life experiences and setting my own personal boundaries in my own life was my first set of challenges. And then backing up my expertise, that has always been difficult for me in the way that I know I'm really good at what I do. My business initially was based on 99% referral. So I know that people know I'm good at what I do. But what I wasn't good at is letting you know how good I am.
Right.
If you didn't already know it, if that makes any sense. And having to overcome that barrier and not think it's about ego, but just think it's about sharing information. Otherwise, how is anybody going to know that you are good at what you do and you can help them with whatever they need you to do for them?
So I think it's a good point to make how character is extremely crucial in business.
Well, let me tell you this, after we've talked about how good we are and how we need to build these people, the second part of character in business is you just better deliver on what you say you're going to do because that's where, in my opinion, that's where the true character test lies. And there are so many, unfortunately, that gives a bad name for a lot of us in the service industry that do not do this. However, there are so many businesses out there that don't think it all the way through when they say, yes, I can do this and, you know, I can deliver it in 24 hours just to in order maybe to get the deal
yeah,
or
get the sale.
Right. And then they've overpromised. More than likely, they've undercharged. And then they can't deliver. And then what ends up happening, of course, is you've got a disappointed, frustrated client on the other end who was counting on you meeting that deadline.
You've got a client that's not going to come back. And if you don't learn from that mistake, and that's the way you're going to do business, your business is not going to succeed.
And I know this happens. There's one particular industry that I feel like I'm not picking on it, but I feel like just based on the experiences that I've had in working with different types of clients is it always usually comes down to businesses that are centered around technology. And that's just a frustrating thing because most people aren't up to speed on the latest technology that
right.
they need for their businesses. And there are sadly some predator type people out there in that particular industry more so. I mean, you're going to find them everywhere, but we're service-based businesses, and service-based businesses are the most vulnerable to being destroyed by the lack of character or being escalated to success based on character.
But you can look at it, the positive way of looking at that is, for instance, I'm involved with producing a lot of commercials, whether it be videos or radio commercials, and I can't tell you how much I love hearing bad commercials on the air. Now, from the standpoint of, oh my gosh, how did this get on the air? Where, you know, I'll turn around and say, but you know what? I love hearing bad commercials because those who produce good commercials are going to stand on a higher plateau, and it's better for me because I produce good commercials. So bring it on.
You just reminded me of the funniest story, and it really actually wasn't so funny at the time, but I own another business, and I don't mind saying the name of it because it's mine and it's fine. But so I own another business, and it's a paint party-oriented event-based business, and it's called Get Your Muse On.
Uh-huh.
I started that business on a shoestring, and I'm a very tenacious individual, so I built my own website. It was bad. I'm proud of the fact that I taught myself WordPress, which is not an easy platform to teach yourself without any instruction whatsoever. However, I built it so that it functioned relatively well, not so well. But we were, you know, bootstrapping it, startup business. And so one day I got this email, and it was the nicest email I've ever gotten in terms of somebody trying to solicit something. And it said, "Hi, Tracy.
Your website stinks. We'd like to design one for you because of..."
I like to say that I train salespeople for a living.
Am I on the right track?
Years. Oh, yeah. So, but you have to know that because I've trained so many salespeople, I'm not easily sold. So if someone calls me I'm very respectful because it's not an easy job.
You hired him, didn't you?
Well, but you got to hear what he said. It was fabulous. So he emails me and he's like, "Hey, I'm Patrick. My wife and I are going to be in your neighborhood, literally, like where I live, and visiting my family. And I noticed that your website could use some improvement." I am not kidding. "If you're interested, I'd be happy to talk to you about it." It was just seriously like I sent you that email or you sent me that email. Like we were friends. And I was like, I have got to find out who this guy is. So I called him.
You opened your door to this person?
I called him. And you are not going to believe how this story ends. He has since built 6 websites for 6 individual of my clients. He was most recently pulled in on a Fortune 500 company project.
Really?
And let me tell you why. Because his character does not in any way disappoint. He will underpromise and overdeliver every single time.
Well, kudos to him.
And those are the kind of people that I put on my team because that is my work ethic, but it's not everybody else's work ethic. So when I can find somebody like that, I help build their businesses, which I have literally done for him because he is just that good.
I like the story.
I was mortified, but I have one wonderful website now that functions like fabulously.
Well, and not only that, you know, I'm sure this guy appreciates you. Did you have a conversation with him about his sales tactics?
I did, because, again, my curiosity, other than just being a consumer who needed a new website, which clearly I did, but I was fascinated by him in the way that it was so unorthodox, but it's the only one that ever got my attention, because I'd been solicited by all kinds of different website companies that had just, you know, telemarketing or whatever.
Right.
But his was so unorthodox that A, it got my attention and it resulted in me actually responding. And then he followed up and his follow through was amazing. But when I asked him about it, his answer was just as casual as his email. He was like, "Well, I don't really like to like sell people because I don't really like to be sold. So I basically, you know, I look across the internet, kind of like you're saying with the bad commercials. And if I find somebody that I think I could help," which I love that approach, "then I just reach out to them. And if they never respond, they never respond. But if they do, great." It was just like,
I love, are you
serious right now?
I love the unorthodox angle of it because it reminds me of that story you emailed me a link to regarding, I think it was a CEO of a company and how he interviews certain people.
Oh, yes. So the CEO of Charles Schwab. That was another fascinating thing for me to see because coming back again to the whole principle of showing up and following through. So this CEO, he has recruitment tactics and I have secret recruitment tactics. However, I didn't really realize that everybody else did, but I guess they do. And his was fabulous. So he takes people that he's recruiting for as an executive candidate.
Right.
He takes them out for breakfast. But before he get before the person who's being interviewed or is part of the job interview process meets him for breakfast, he's already had a conversation with the server paid her.
This guy, he shows up early and he says, I'm going to ask you to do something unorthodox, but I will tip you well. Go ahead.
Yes. So there's a big bonus in it for them. So the mission is for them to completely mess up the job candidate's meal. And not just once, but like two or three times. And his observation of how they process the challenge, how they respect the server, how they accept or don't accept the quality of what's being presented to them. I mean, there are so many different facets of the personality and the character of the individual that's revealed in that level of a situation. I think it's brilliant. I used to do something that I think might be equally as brilliant, but maybe not so much. when I would recruit salespeople, I would make it extremely difficult for them to get back in touch with me. So we would have a really great first interview, and they would, if they were a really great candidate, we would have a really great interview, and they would go away more than likely thinking like, I got this. That's fun. And then they would call, and I wouldn't return their calls, and then they would email, and I wouldn't return their emails. Actually, at this point, we didn't have email. Sorry, hate to age myself, nor cell phones. So they would call the office, leave a message. And
you wouldn't get back to them.
And I wouldn't get back to them because I bet you can guess why. Can you? I will tell you.
Why you wouldn't get back to them?
Yep.
See, and I'm thinking on the other side of it. What if I was on the other side of that coin? And it's like, this is a company that I want to work for that's being led by somebody who doesn't return phone calls?
You might think that. And I'm sure, you know what? I am sure there are people that did think that. But if you're going to go out and sell, especially air, because at the time I was recruiting salespeople that sold radio, which is essentially air, theater of the mind. So you are going to get a lot of no's. You are going to get blown off a ton. You are going to get be in situations where you think you have so sold this person and they are going to sign up for the biggest contract of your life and then you never hear from them again. And it's how they handled that situation, which was ultimately the deciding factor of whether or not I hired them. Because I walked the interview process all the way through with them as if they were trying to sell me something. And the ones that were tenacious, found other ways to get in touch with me, were flexible with me if I, quote unquote, changed an appointment because something came up. This happens in life, in real world, all the time.
Did they end up coming to your home at 3:00 in the morning and banging on your bedroom window?
Okay, they did not do that. I did not let it go on that far. But I can tell you that the group of the team that of salespeople that I built, which you're very familiar with because you worked with a lot of them, took that station from, let's just talk in round numbers because I don't really want to be too specific, but they did, they grossed $1 million the first year higher than the year they, or any year they had before.
We've got a few minutes left, so I want to ask you a question. Going back to the Charles Schwab thing, let's say Charles Schwab, his CEO, took you out to breakfast and you sat down and you're basically in the running for a very good position with the organization. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a bank. It could be any job. And you're out to breakfast and all of a sudden you're sitting, just you and this CEO, and you ordered your meal. Aside from the fact that you've got to put food in your mouth and chew it in front of this future employer.
Yeah, you don't want to order a salad. Breakfast is way better.
you're already nervous about that. But so sure enough, the waiter or waitress comes, messes up your order. You're allergic to cheese. They put cheese on it. They said, I'm sorry. They come back and sure, three or four times they're messing up the order. How would you react if you were with a friend compared to how you would react sitting with this CEO?
That is a great question. I would love to tell you that I would react the same, but the honest answer is I would treat the server the same, but when the server walked away, I would probably roll my eyes and be like, what in the world is going on? She is not having a good day, or something of the like that might not sound as nice. But and I would not do that
because
in the job interview. So yeah, that might put a little dent in that 100% character I was bragging about. But I'm not perfect.
And the funny thing is a CEO that does this, he's not just looking to see what the reaction is. He might be looking at you, for instance, to see how much are you holding back because you really want to be a witch on this waiter or waitress. And I could tell just by looking at your face that you're turning red. I could see the blood vessels in your eyes. That tells you something about that person. And I really like that unorthodox way of interviewing somebody. It's really interesting.
It doesn't necessarily have to be just professional either, by the way, but I will tell you that—
Like a dating thing?
Well, now I have a great story for you. So my husband, he was, I like to say he's a very handsome man and he was a good catch and I called him. But before I called him, he dated a lot and he had this test and it is so funny. And by the way, I had to take the test and I did not know I was taking the test. So at the time, he owned a battered pickup truck and he owned a Mercedes convertible. And every time he went out with a girl on the, first, second, third date, he always drove that pickup truck. And the pickup truck didn't have electric locks. You had to lean over and open the lock or whatever. So he would watch and see how these women responded to the pickup truck. And also if they leaned over to his side to unlock the door for him because it's not electric.
Right.
Thank God I did that. And I didn't say anything about the truck because I thought it was kind of cool. Because it was such an oxymoron. Here he is in this great looking suit and he's super handsome and then he's got this battered pickup truck. I found that to be interesting. And now I'm married to him. But that Mercedes convertible did not come out, definitely not before the third date. And he would evaluate them based on that. And I just think that's pretty extreme. I think he could have had trust issues.
How well does your husband like the movie A Bronx Tale?
Oh, I don't know that one.
You're going to have to ask him about that because in A Bronx Tale, Chaz Palminteri is one of the characters in it. And Robert De Niro's son is looking to Chaz Palminteri's, am I saying that right, Palminteri? Looking at his character and being mentored by him. And this kid's about to go out on a date. And he says, you know how you know if you have the right woman. And if you don't, you dump her right away. Right away, no questions asked. If you help her in the car, you open the door for her every time. Okay, it takes place back in the 50s or 60s. And you open the door, you unlock the door, open it for her, let her in, close the door. Go around the back of the car. As you go around the back of the car, you're looking through the window. If she does not lean over and unlock your door for you, you get rid of her right away. So it led up to that, and sure
so
enough—
So you think he stole that from the movie?
I don't know. Sure enough, in the movie, she opened she unlocked the door for him. I think that's the way it went. It's been a while since I've seen it. But it's a test of character. It truly is.
Well, I have to tell you, too, because I do have a very sweet husband, and you've met him, and he is adorable. But to this day, still, we've been married for a few years now, and he still opens the door for me every single time, even if we're just running up to the convenience store to get, milk or whatever. I mean, it's pretty impressive. But I do think he had a previous life, and he lived in the 50s, which is good for me. I think
it's awesome. This show was awesome. I think it taught a lot of people a lot of things. About not only the character of their clients, but the character of themselves. And that about does it for us today.
Are we really out of time?
Yeah. But before we go, I want to hear how it ended up with the web design guy.
So with Patrick, think about it. So he had two choices. After he did that phenomenal recruitment process to me, then he could have just not shown up. Like he could have not come. He could have not showed up for the appointment. He could have shown up for the appointment and he could have not delivered the product. But because he did all three of those things, that's the reason why he got so much of that business out of my business. Because when he called on me, so to speak, he called on me for a side business. He didn't even have any idea the door he was opening in regards to my consulting business. But I'm just saying that with him, he was the epitome of the type of employee I would want to recruit.
That's great. I'm going to have to get this guy's email address from you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, believe me. He would be happy for me to give it out to you.
All right. Any final thoughts?
Okay. I cannot let this show end without saying just something that is just burning a hole in my chest.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, the reason why the topic of this episode is so important to me is because you do only get one reputation, and it is your behaviors and your choices that ultimately define what that reputation is. And I think in a lot of ways, people are moving so fast and they have all this multitasking going on, and that the bar has been a little bit lowered in terms of politeness and respectfulness and even in manners. But at the end of the day, people's perception of you is their reality. A good reputation will get you anywhere you need to be.
I can't wait to see the comments on this show. Along with Tracy DeForge, I'm Russ Reba. We are your hosts of the Journey to Their radio show. Hit the website, leave some comments, suggestions, tell us what you think. Tell your friends and associates about the show, too. We certainly look forward to you joining us for the next episode.
We hope you've enjoyed today's journey, and we invite you to visit journeytothere.com to download full episodes, find show notes, and connect with us by signing up for our newsletter. We want to hear from you. Give us feedback or ask any questions by clicking or tapping Contact Us. That's journeytothere.com.